This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, I want to ask you, you know how we play this, is it a thing or is it not a thing? You tell me if this is a thing and it's something that maybe we'll be seeing more of. The St. Francis Red Flash were in the first four in Dayton last week.
For Red Division. Flash.
So they were in the first floor. They got beat on a heartbreaker. After the
Alabama
game.
Alabama State beat them.
Yeah, yep. After the game and the next couple days, the program said they're going to move down to Division III beginning in the 26-27 school year. Is this a thing? Is this something? Is this something we're going to see more of? What do you think?
Yes. Yes. Now, St. Francis is different than most every D1 school because it has fewer than 2,000 students as of last year. Fewer than 2,000 students, and it's located in Loretto, Pennsylvania, and that town has a population of just 1,100. So the school almost doubles the population of the town. So what might that mean? It's a couple hours from Pittsburgh and it's 4 hours from Philly.
Yeah, and they're going to join the pack, which I think, you know, traditionally, kind of about the same as, well, Division III.
The President's and, Athletic Conference?
Yeah.
Is that
so,
what it is?
Yeah, so like Case and John Carroll are about the same, you know, or have been a part of it at one point. I'm pretty sure. But they'll play schools like Allegheny.
Washington and
Teal,
Jefferson.
Washington and Jefferson, Grove City.
I visited Washington and Jefferson.
And how were
famous
they?
Famous alum.
Washington, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson?
Roger Goodell, just is powerful.
Would have made more sense. So what did they name the school after, like Bill Washington and Johnny Jefferson?
WJG, Washington, Jefferson, Goodell.
Yes. Good point.
And the reason that they did this, you know, it's a religious-based school, I believe. And they said that in this day and age of, you know, the transfer portal and pay for play, and they say the shifts that move athletics away from love of the game. I think that's key. And they said, as a board, they aim to provide best resources for our student athletes in this changing environment. And the best way for them to do that is to drop down to D3. Andy, I get it. You know, when the difference between the haves and the have-nots expands even more, well, ultimately, what's the purpose of college?
To educate for the majority of the students.
For the majority of the students.
But I'm not here to school.
And for many student-athletes, what's the best? It's to play college sports.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to go play college sports, that's a great experience for you. And do you want to do it on the best stage possible? Sure you do. I get that. But then you can go to a different school and do that. I have no problem with this at all. If you have a school of 2,000 people in a town of 1,100 and you're trying to compete D1, good luck to you. And they're going to back away from that and concentrate on other things. And ultimately, education is what college is all about. And you're going to leave the big D1 stuff to the big D1 schools. That's okay. I could see other teams doing that. You know, teams going from D1 down to D2, Andy,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you can still get athletic scholarships. That's okay, too. But it's serious.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the cost of competing in all these sports at the D1 level.
Oh, here's the other thing. I think D2 and FCS schools are only going to get stronger. I understand what you're saying about Division III, but I also think that these other, that D2, because I'm pretty sure that they're still able to do partials after this year, but like FBS football teams are going to have that maximum 85. They've totally kind of gone away with walk-ons. FCS, Youngstown State is the best way to put that. They're going to have a maximum of 63. So, you know, if you're not able to be a player who might want to compete to try to get a scholarship and be at that, this is all kind of trickle-down effect because of NIL, because they've cut back on scholarships, because now that they're going to have to, you know, with revenue sharing and all these other things that are, you know, clearly in place, I think that the level of athletics that we see at Division II and Division III, they're only going to get stronger and better, because I think you've got a lot of athletes that are sitting D1, even with the transfer portal, that are sitting there because they're hoping for their spot to get the opportunity to play at a major school and get seen so that they can try to make it to the pros. Well, yeah, most people realize that that's just not reality. But there are people still hanging on to that dream. Now, without that scholarship or the opportunity for a scholarship there, I think that trickles down and comes back. There's a big thing with Canadian hockey and coming back into American hockey and how strong, like the club leagues moving forward in the next couple of years are going to get even stronger and stronger, because you've got guys that were making a little bit of money that were ineligible in Canada, and now they're eligible to play NCAA hockey, and that's going to make the Division I school stronger. And then the trickle-down effect, which is this ACHA, that hockey is only getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So, but I'm just showing you one sport. The other sports, obviously with football, same thing's going to happen. If you're a guy that like, oh, preferred walk-on, well, what does that really mean? What does that mean? That means you can come here, pay to go to school, and then I don't even know. I don't even get a lot of practice, especially if you can't have walk-ons anymore. And so those athletes who are sitting in the old preferred walk-on spot, now you got to say to yourself, well, maybe I will go play FCS. Maybe I will go play Division II. Maybe I'll roll the dice because my academics are good enough to go Division III, and I'm going to go play D3, and then we'll see what happens. So I do think that we're now starting to see, and we've already seen it a little bit, but the ripple effect of competitive play getting better and stronger because there aren't people sitting out, not sitting on the sidelines waiting to play anymore.
Can't you see, though, schools doing what St. Francis just did?
Yes, I
like,
can.
Hey, yeah. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is just not good for us anymore. You know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work for us anymore. And if we need an example of that, look at the schools in the Sweet 16. You know? You don't see. I mean, we all root for the St. Francis. We all root for.
Yeah, I don't think that
the Akron. We root for Kent State to make an Elite Eight run. Mm-hmm. Well, how often do we see that? Not, you know, occasionally. We see a school do that, a smaller school step up and go. But for the most part, they're out in round one. If they're really lucky, they win one and get to, you know, get into the second round. And that's just the way it is, you know, and it's only going to become more so in this day and age of the NIL where, as Rick Pitino has said, why do I need to recruit high school anymore? I'll just let somebody else, you know, discover the gem, and then I'll give him more money, and then you transfer here to St. John's. And you can be mad at Pitino for that, but that's just the reality of what's going on right now.
Yeah, I just think we're in a transitional stage, and I think at some point this thing's going to we'll find some normal. But I think normal is going to leave the elite college athletic programs on their own island.
Can't you see a super conference of like 60 schools?
With relegation, yeah.
With 70 schools, and that is your D1. And then everybody else in something else, maybe not even a D2, maybe eventually another type of level is created.
Well, you have four, right? So you've got FCS, FBS.
Well, I mean,
you've
like
got
maybe,
Division
maybe
two,
for,
Division
maybe
three.
For basketball and a different championship. You know, as we talked about the other day, there are seven levels of state championships in high school basketball in Ohio.
Yeah.
Well,
you also, I mean,
maybe you could have four different levels of college basketball. You know, the super division, the next division, D2, D3.
I mean, you kind of have a little bit of that with NAIA too, right?
Well, and that's another.
And because
another
we're not a huge NAIA state. Like there are plenty of states that
have a lot of NAIA schools.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big deal. And so maybe we might be warped a little bit.
A lot of the NAIA schools in Ohio have joined the NCAA in the last 20, 30 years. Walsh University in Canton used to be NAIA when Bob Huggins was the head coach there. Malone University in Canton was NAIA.
I don't. Maybe that gives them a chance to amp up the competitiveness of the NAIA, which may happen. It's so weird because it used to just be so easy.
I can just see, though, Andy, St. Francis is making a preemptive strike. It's like, hey, before we get our brains beat in and spend all this money, we're a small school. Let's go down. Let's put the emphasis back on education. We're still going to offer athletic programs. It's going to be great. You know, many of the smaller schools, Andy, as you know, they live because of athletics. You know,
they fill the dorms.
Right. Look at some of the D3 schools around our area.
Mm-hmm.
They exist because 40, 50, 60, 70% of the student body plays a sport. They go there to play a sport and get an education. And
they're willing to pay for it.
And they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and I get that. And you're going to go get an education anyway. And if you want to play a sport, go do it. Why not?
But at the higher schools, you're there. I mean, and so
the higher schools have a different purpose.
You're there for sport. You're there for sport.
Oftentimes.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not here to. I mean, there were no truer words said than when Cardell said, "I'm not here to play school."
Well,
and any D1 athlete understands that.
Well, but he might be alone in that.
He is not alone. I can't tell you how many guys I know that have played Division I athletics that said he didn't lie.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Okay.
He might not be he's not alone. Certainly, he's not alone. But you can be sure there are tons of D1 athletes, tons, who are like, hey, thank you for the education. I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to get on with my life. Because they don't have pro aspirations. They're, you know, ultimately, they won't end up going pro.
True.
So you better use that system as well. Get that education.
All good food for thought. Chris Rose, he'll join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.